Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In February of 1518, Martin Luther was asked to present before a, dare I say, kind of like a conference in Heidelberg. For that, he wrote a document that has come to be known as the Heidelberg Disputation. The Heidelberg Disputation is a significant document. We've talked about it several times. I even led a Bible class on it years ago about the Heidelberg Disputation. But one of the unique things, the significant things about the document is it marks a pivot point, a turning point in the very life of Martin Luther. Now, for most of us, when we start talking about pivot points and turning points, especially of the life of Martin Luther, we usually talk about the 95 Theses. But truth be told is the 95 Theses were definitely the spark that sparked the Reformation. There is no doubt. And they are significant work in that regard. But if you ever read them, you will discover something. When you read the 95 Theses, Martin Luther is very, very Catholic. He is a very, very Catholic person. In fact, one of the complaints that he has in the 95 Theses is that the Pope must not know about all of these things, which is why they're being allowed to happen. It's just that the Pope doesn't know about it. If only the Pope would know. But with the Heidelberg Disputation, it's different. With the Heidelberg Disputation, he was asked to defend himself. And so, after struggling and striving and searching out Scripture, he writes this disputation. It is the first clear example we have of, dare I say, his good Christian or Lutheran theology. It's a turning point. It's a pivot point. There's all the writings that Luther had before this point, and then there's all the writings that Luther has after this point. They are different. This marks a clear turning point. Now, not all of us have that. Whenever I think about myself, I don't think I have a very clear pivot point in my life. I can't say, oh, well, there was this one thing that happened, and everything else before that was like this, and everything else after that was like this. I mean, there's smaller ones. There's other ones that have occurred throughout my life where I can say, well, this really adjusted my life or tweaked my life, and I ended up going off in this direction or that direction, but I don't think I have anything major. But how about you? How are your pivot points in your own life? We all have them. Maybe we don't have such a major one like the Heidelberg Disputation, but maybe there's something else in your life that has caused it to shift and to adjust over the years. Maybe it was nothing major. Maybe they were just minor little twists and turns throughout. It's one of those things that we think about. And as we think about those things, and as we turn our attention to the Gospel of Mark, we actually see another pivot point. A clear pivot point. Not for Jesus. Jesus came to do the will of the Heavenly Father. He came to do the will of our Heavenly Father. It's been His mission from the very beginning. It's been there from the very start. He always planned to do what He is going to do. So no, this isn't a pivot point for Jesus. It is, however, a pivot point for the disciples. The disciples, as they have been following along our Lord and Savior Jesus, as they have been following at His feet and learning from Him, this marks a clear and distinct pivot point for them. There's everything that happened before, and then there's everything that happened after. And in fact, in a lot of ways, even in our gospel written by John Mark, this is a pivot point in the gospel. Prior to this in the gospel, Jesus goes around proclaiming that the kingdom of God is here. After this, He sets His eyes on Jerusalem and He heads toward the cross. So what happens? Well, Peter makes the great confession. Who do people say that I am? And then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Peter responds, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the very Son of God. Peter gets it. He understands who Jesus is. And Jesus begins to explain exactly what He is going to do. That He is heading towards Jerusalem. That He is going to be rejected by the chief priests, the scribes. That ultimately He is going to die and rise again. Now, of course, after this, Peter gets it wrong, right? Rebukes Jesus, tries to stand in his way, and Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Because Jesus has set his eyes upon Jerusalem, and that is where he is heading. The rest of the Gospel of Mark is Jesus heading toward Jerusalem to go to the cross, to die upon the cross for you and for me. To go to the cross to pay the price for our sins, to redeem us. Yes, it's a pivot point. It's a turning point in the life of the disciples. It's a turning point, a pivot point in the gospel. And it's also a pivot point for us as well. Now, it might not be the major pivot point where we go, well, there's everything in life before this and everything in life after this. Of course, if this is the first time you're hearing the gospel message and that Jesus Christ did this for you, maybe it is that great pivot point that changes everything in your life. But even from a church season standpoint, this is a pivot point. Our church year starts with Advent, where we talk about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the King, and it culminates with Jesus Christ on Christmas morning, where we talk about that Jesus did come. Then we have the season of Epiphany, where we talk about Jesus Christ revealing himself, revealing who he is to those that are around him and even to the disciples, which culminates in Transfiguration Sunday. Believe it or not, that text actually happens later in the gospel. But even so, it is the pinnacle of Epiphany. Jesus Christ reveals himself in his glory to the disciples, some of the disciples. But with Lent, with the beginning of Lent, we have a particular pivot point, a turn. We turn and we focus our attention upon Christ Jesus as he moves to the cross. We turn our attention as Jesus Christ heads to Jerusalem. And yes, this should impact our lives. It absolutely should impact our lives. On Wednesday, we talked about prayer. How maybe this should impact our prayer life. Maybe we should pray more in the season of Lent as we direct our attention upon Christ Jesus our Lord. Absolutely. But what about scripture reading? Maybe we need to read more scripture. Maybe a good discipline during the time of Lent would be to pick a gospel and read through the whole gospel. If you have time, maybe multiple times. It should impact our lives as we set upon Jesus Christ, our eyes upon Christ Jesus. Yes, Jesus sets his eyes upon Jerusalem. He moves towards Jerusalem, ultimately to be rejected, to be beaten, to be killed for your sake, for your sins, for your salvation. And yes, during this season, we now set our eyes upon the very passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We set our eyes upon the forgiveness given and won for us through what Christ has done for us, that through him we have eternal life in his name. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now stand as we confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.